Well, it was interesting talking about our groundwater with a couple of experts. We're going to turn our attention to some surface water now. The Great Lakes really are unique in the world. They certainly dominate our lives here in the upper Midwest. And managing and protecting our natural resources, always difficult. And in the case of the Great Lakes, just the sheer size and the many different, gosh, you think about all the different government, tribal, nonprofit, commercial, individual stakeholders we have for those Great Lakes. What a challenge. This is Great Lakes Week. And many of those stakeholders have gathered in Milwaukee to identify and address issues facing the Great Lakes. Kim Waltz is project manager and grants coordinator for the Great Lakes at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Kim, thanks for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
I really appreciate having you along. Stacy Roan is the coordinator for the Sheboygan Area of Concern Cleanup and Restoration Project for the DNR, which is held up as a great example of environmental reclamation. And I'm just going to mention here, we have a little video up on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show about the Sheboygan cleanup. And I really hope everybody takes the time just to view that, because it's what a great success story. Stacy, great to have you with us.
Well, thanks for having us.
They're joining us from our Milwaukee, Wisconsin Public Radio studios in Milwaukee. So great to have them along. Certainly, you may have some questions for them as we move along today. How much do you think about the Great Lakes? Do you have any specific concerns? Do you think that a particular group of stakeholder concerns might have more weight than others? Some people think that way. What about you? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. And certainly love to hear from you. Stacy, this is Great Lakes Week. You and Kim have come from the big gathering to be on the show. What's going on this week?
Well, there's quite a few meetings going on. The Great Lakes Commission met earlier this week, and today the Healing Our Waters group is meeting. There's been a couple other events and activities. Last night they had a reception at the Art Museum and had some tours of some local successful projects and that have been going on here in the Milwaukee area. But a lot of stakeholders meeting and just talking about some successful things that are happening in the Great Lakes and some success that we hope to have in the future.
Yeah. Kim, what are some of the greatest challenges facing our Great Lakes?
Well, there's quite a few challenges, and we're trying to address them all in the best way we can. And some of them are the invasive species issues that come into the Great Lakes through various vectors, coastal hazards and health issues. And one of the issues that is probably in the forefront for Lake Michigan residents are the lower lake levels that we're currently seeing.
Yeah, are there some other newer problems emerging as well, Kim? Or?
Well, all this factors that we're dealing with, but then, you know, now we overlay climate change and severe weather impacts that are happening are also, you know, an additional stressor to these already challenges that are within the Great Lakes.
So something like climate change, that's probably a longer-term issue to think about.
It definitely is, and yeah. It's unpredictable. We can't imagine how those impacts are going to show itself within all these other issues. But, you know, storm events and storm frequencies are certainly something that's been very aware here in Milwaukee, where we've had some big rain events that have caused lots of trouble a couple years ago just north of Milwaukee in Shorewood, where they had sinkholes and huge amount of water issues. That impacts the Great Lakes with all the runoff and other things that
occur. That are part of that whole thing. Kim, how is what has been accomplished in the cleanup of the Sheboygan River? That I think could really serve as an example of what we could do with the Great Lakes on a much broader basis.
Right, and you know, Stacy's kind of the expert on the Sheboygan River, but what we're doing there is trying to improve habitat and other areas around the basin to, you know, try and mitigate some of these impacts of climate change and some of these other issues. And just what's going on there is the removal of the contaminants that have been present for a long time within the system that cause, you know, fish advisories and other issues within the basin.
Yeah, Stacy, and maybe you could give us the background on this. And well, it's such a great success story and obviously involves so many different kinds of people.
Sure. The Walla Sheboygan River is an area of concern, which for those of you not familiar with that program, it's basically the most degraded areas along the Great Lakes shoreline were deemed areas of concern in the mid-80s. And there was a push when that happened to create remedial action plans that would address, you know, these really toxic hot spots that would help clean it up. And after kind of a flurry of activity, it kind of became less and less of a priority with other things that came up. And very recently, with the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, there's been a focus back on cleaning up these areas that we've known for many, many years have serious issues. We have five here in the state of Wisconsin, the Milwaukee River Estuary, the Sheboygan River, the Lower Fox and Green Bay, the Menominee River, and the St. Louis River. In the Sheboygan River, in the last few years, we got funding to do what is probably a more holistic restoration than is normal for cleaning up a toxic hotspot. As Kim said, not only did we address the contaminated sediment, but we also addressed other issues that were secondary or caused by these impacts of these toxic hotspots and cleaned up habitat and did some other projects to look and see how we have been successful in remediating these areas. But the best part about the Sheboygan River is we were able to look at all of the issues at once rather than trying to address one thing and then come back again later and try to address another thing.
And that, you know, that's got to be a blueprint for success in many of these other areas as well, I would think.
Yeah, I think really there were four of these areas of concern in, I think, 2011-12 that got focused funding to look at what could be done if we really allow people to tell us what they need to solve these problems and we are able to fund them. And fortunately, I mean, there was a lot of money invested, but if you look at the size of some of these other areas, we were able to capture, you know, everything in our plan and get it funded for what is a lot of money, but certainly would be much more expensive in a larger area such as Milwaukee. So I think it serves as a good blueprint on what we can do if we are able to address and get funding for things all at one time.
Yeah. And the scale of the project for Sheboygan, as Stacy alluded to, it was a much smaller scale. Milwaukee and Green Bay and those are on a much larger scale. But one of the real advantages for the Sheboygan, too, was the cooperation between the local governments and the county and so many people coming together to move this these projects forward and putting in a lot of time, energy, and money, too, towards this project to see it through. That was the real success for this project was the collaboration.
Yeah, and I really would like to point people to my Facebook page. Go to that. It's not a long piece, but it's a very nicely put together summary of what went on with the Sheboygan River, and what was accomplished, and really what was accomplished is almost amazing, isn't it?
It truly is. And we've had other success stories, too, just right here in Milwaukee, the Kinnickinnick River that was, you know, it's kind of a very small subset of the Milwaukee estuary, but a restoration and remediation project with the removal of the contaminated sediments in that area has really revitalized that area. And again, it was the partnerships, the collaboration with the local landowners and the community there that has really revitalized that area. And if you go to that area now compared to what it was even 3-4 years ago, it's just amazing. It's really getting to be a social up-and-coming neighborhood. There's a lot of revitalization with local businesses. And this is the kind of impact that we're hoping to have with these restorations, is turning a blighted area, a contaminated area, into something with economic vitality And we have examples. There's continuing to do that. And also it's a way to bring people back to the rivers instead of turning their backs on the rivers, and that they're, you know, were used more as open sewers throughout history. By taking back and cleaning those up and bringing people back to the rivers and to the water is really important, because people are naturally drawn to that for their, you know, recreational opportunities and just a way to relax and enjoy the environment.
So it costs some money to do this remediation, but, you know, if you think the long term, I mean, the cost is, I mean, when you've got improved property values, you've got a better a way of life for people, I think the cost kind of gets covered in that way.
It is. There's many studies done. The Brookings Institute did a study that said for every dollar spent on remediation and restoration, it brings back 2 to 10-fold to the local economy. So it's really a good and wise investment to revitalize these areas.
Yeah, that's for sure. We're talking today about our Great Lakes. This is Great Lakes Week. And it's pretty cool, actually, having a chance to visit with Kim Waltz, is the project manager and grants coordinator for the Great Lakes at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Also with us today, Stacy Roan, who is the coordinator for the Sheboygan Area of Concern Cleanup and Restoration Project for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. How much do you think about the Great Lakes? Do you have some specific concerns that you'd like to talk with our guests about? Do you think that a particular group of stakeholders' concerns may be carrying more weight than others? Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. And we'll be back with our guests right after this look at the news. Stay with us. The Great Lakes are a real treasure, and those of us who are fortunate to live in the region, I think, really appreciate all that they do for us and for our wildlife. And Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. There are many challenges facing the Great Lakes, and there are also very diverse stakeholders involved in working on those challenges. And we have two great guests to help us understand the issues and to tell us what's going on at Great Lakes Week in Milwaukee. Kim Waltz is project manager and grants coordinator for the Great Lakes at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Kim, thanks for spending time with us today. Appreciate it.
Good to be here.
And Stacy Roan coordinates the Sheboygan Area of Concern Cleanup and Restoration Project for the DNR, which is held up as a great example of environmental reclamation. Stacy, great to have you with us as well.
Thanks.
And they are joining us from our Milwaukee studios, which is pretty nice. You may have a question or comment for them. How much do you think about the Great Lakes? Any questions relating to the lakes? I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can get on pretty quickly. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And I'd certainly love to hear from you. And a caller who couldn't wait online but wondered what some of the other Great Lakes are facing as challenges that we may not be aware of with our Lake Michigan.
Well, I think the biggest challenge that we're not currently experiencing in Lake Michigan, but Lake Erie has a significant issue with phosphorus loading, nutrient loading that's causing toxic algae blooms, and also a big dead zone, which means an area of the lake where the oxygen levels are so low that there's no fish present.
Boy, so that's really too bad.
It is a very challenging issue, and, you know, it relates to that these are really big issues, and it doesn't include just the nearshore landowners, but it's a watershed issue. So what happens even miles away from the lake has significant impacts on that through non-point source and nutrient loadings that occur throughout the entire Great Lakes Basin.
Yeah. And, you know, you think about the Great Lakes, they are really important to to us who live in their vicinity. Well, and frankly, important to anybody here in this country or Canada or for sure, because of all that they provide.
That's true. The Great Lakes provide so many things to the local region. They're a big economic incentive through tourism, through shipping, through commercial industries. There's a big commercial fishing industry involved. So there's quite a lot that the Great Lakes offer to the communities near and far from them that we all benefit from.
And certainly, we were just talking about groundwater, drinking water. The lakes provide a lot of drinking water as well, the Great Lakes.
They sure do. Two nations, Canada and the U.S., most of their population receives, or a big part of their population receives, their fresh water, drinking water from the Great Lakes, and we need to protect that source of fresh water.
And Kim, what about for wildlife? They're important for wildlife, obviously.
Obviously, they're, you know, fish and other nearshore animals, they rely on the Great Lakes, you know, for a place to live and to reproduce, and we need to provide the proper environment for them to succeed and continue on and have a diverse population of fish and wildlife within the community. There's a big birding population that migrates through the Great Lakes every year, which is also very important.
Sure. And if you think about, I wonder, maybe you don't even know how many different government and tribal authorities are out there that have a direct stake. Lots.
There are very many.
There's
the eight Great Lakes states on the U.S. side, Canada, two provinces, the federal governments on both sides of the border, local municipalities, cities, communities. And all these groups are forming alliances and working to protect and restore the Great Lakes. So there's a lot of activity and a lot of energy. And it's here this week in Milwaukee where we come together once a year for Great Lakes Weeks to celebrate and to learn from each other and to invigorate each other in the protection and restoration of the Great Lakes.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Jeff in Shawamigan Bay has a question or comment. Let's go to Jeff. Hi, thank you for calling.
Good afternoon, Larry. Another great couple of shows you've got here going. I just wanted to compliment the Great Lakes restoration that has occurred in the city of Ashland and in Shawamigan Bay. They've done, I think it was along with the highway project a couple of years ago, and they've done a wonderful job on re-energizing the waterfront, and they have signs saying it was a Great Lakes restoration project. So it really is money well spent. At the same time, Ashland has a Superfund site that they need to clean up, which is going to cost many, many millions of dollars. And it goes to preventing the degradation before you have to restore it. And my earnest comment is that we have a serious threat in the form of this Pinoki Mountaintop removal mine in the Bad River watershed of Lake Superior. And in the new DNR, in the new legislation from the state, Wisconsin State Senator Tiffany has said that degradation is built in to the new legislation concerning iron mining so as not to hold the company liable for the degradation in the future. And I guarantee that with the sulfides and the asbestos and the mercury and the arsenic and the machinery pollution, et cetera, there will be a Superfund site here in 30 or 40 years if this mine is licensed and permitted. How can we stop this degradation so that we don't have to put more millions into restoration in the future and keep up the great work, people?
Thanks very much for calling. Kim Waltz, you want to take a crack at that?
Well, you know, there's hopefully safeguards built into the mining operations, but there is, you know, also the risk there that a lot of these pollutants that were mentioned could reach into the tributaries that eventually flow into Lake Superior, and that's a concern for everybody, and we need to make wise decisions.
Absolutely. Sandy in Algoma has a question. Hi, Sandy. Thank you for calling.
Yes, hi. Thank you. I appreciate the show. This is great. we have a huge problem in Kewaunee County with these factory farms expanding by leaps and bounds.
Ah, we lost her. Sandy, I'm sorry we lost you, but you probably get the drift of her question coming up, the concern about very large farms and the potential for pollution on Lake Michigan.
Yeah, agriculture is certainly something that's been a focus in the last few years, especially with the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, to look at ways we can improve agricultural practices so that we protect the Great Lakes. And in fact, the Sheboygan-Manitowoc watershed, which I believe includes part of Kewaunee County, was included as one of the focus areas for the Natural Resources Conservation Service to implement some, pilot kind of projects or add additional projects into things that they were already looking to do. So I hopefully will see the results of those projects in the next few years here.
Yeah. Sandy, I'm really sorry we lost you there. I appreciate your comments, and we'll have to turn to Penny in Appleton next, who has a question or comment. Penny, hi. Thanks for calling.
Sure. I was calling originally about the Fox River and the fact that we've had a very successful cleanup of the Fox River through dredging, and that is the major source of PCBs into the Great Lakes. However, I want to add to the previous guests and callers and say that regulations are there for a reason. If we didn't have pollution, we wouldn't have to do all this restoration. So the Great Lakes need to be protected through proper regulatory environment and make sure that we don't allow pollution to be the problem.
Yeah. Stacy, you agree with that?
Certainly protecting is always cheaper than fixing on the other end. And I think that some of these areas of concern are very good examples of how we could, maybe improve our practices to save ourselves in the future from having to spend the large amounts of money. I mean, the Sheboygan River itself, the area of concern is the lower 14 miles of the river, and we've spent somewhere between $80 and $100 million to clean up this area.
And that's like, what'd you say,
Teddy? Well, it's just interesting that we spend so much money to clean something up when we really should be preventing it and not letting it happen in the first place and save ourselves a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you're going to get any argument from Stacy or Kim on that one, Penny. Kim, you're not going to argue, are you?
No, prevention is the key to keeping our lakes and rivers, clean and useful for all to enjoy.
The other thing, I guess, is that a lot of pollution, although we're always concerned about pollution, but a lot of it happened, I think, before we... many years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and hopefully we, through the areas of concern, we can learn from past mistakes and not use our water resources, our rivers and streams as open sewers and disposal sites, because that's not, they're our drinking water supply. A lot of animals and fisheries, they depend on that for their livelihood, and we do too. So I think it's important that we do prevent as much as we can from entering those streams and by using good practices. And
talking about our Great Lakes today with our two guests, Kim Waltz, who is project manager, grants coordinator for the Great Lakes at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Stacy Roan is the coordinator for the Sheboygan Area of Concern Cleanup and Restoration Project for the DNR. Great to have them along. Open lines, we can get you on at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Elizabeth in Milwaukee, turn to you next. Thank you for calling. Hi.
I need to specifically address Stacy and Kim to contact the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Freshwater University, specifically attorney Val Klump, PhD, gave a talk to us Zoo Pride members at the zoo talking about fresh water and the impact of fracking that's going to ruin the aquifers in the middle of the state, and the mine that's proposed on the northwest corner of our state, how it's going to contaminate Lake Superior, the aquifers, and the rivers. Why are we so naive that this isn't going to happen?
Well, let's get a comment from our guest, Kim.
Well, you know, everything is connected, and what we do on the land impacts our water supply, both surface water and groundwater. So we need to be aware of that and be protective as much as we can for those resources.
Yeah. Anything to add there, Stacy?
I would just add that we are in Milwaukee, and the folks from UWM are attending the conference and giving presentations. So not only do we have a national presence here in Milwaukee today, we also have local stakeholders that are attending the conference as well.
And there are, as we'll expound on that, there are a lot of university folks and researchers, and the Great Lakes community has really expanded to include, you know, everyone in trying to solve and keep the Great Lakes safe and our water supply safe. So there are a lot of cross communications with those.
With those people, what are some of the topics, just for fun, what are some of the kind of presentations that are going on this week?
Well, we just had a presentation on the phosphorus loading in the Fox River, which is a big, I think someone brought up about the non-point source pollution, looking at climate change and the impacts climate change have on all these other stressors for the Great Lakes and how we need to deal with that. Being more proactive through adaptive management in our practices that we implement for some of these restorations so that we can have long-term reliability for these practices that we install for the habitat restoration to function over a wide variety of climate changes that we may be seeing.
Yeah. Elizabeth, thank you. I want to give Tom a chance to join in from Nina. Tom, hello. Thank you for calling.
Yes, the question that I have is, what is the status of efforts being made to prevent the migration of the Asian carp species into the Great Lakes through the Chicago River?
Okay. Kim, are you up on that?
I'll let Stacy take that one.
I just actually was at a conference not that long ago where we heard, I will forget the correct term, but basically the White House Asian carp point person came and was discussing what was going on. And there is a plan. The Army Corps has been working on a plan. In fact, I think they were asked to speed that process up a little bit. There's a lot of stakeholders involved from the Great Lakes fisheries to other Great Lakes stakeholder organizations that are all looking to have some action on preventing Asian carp from getting into the lakes, because it would be such an ecological and economic impact to have those fish get into the lake. So there are different areas, and I know Chicago Canal is one of the bigger points, but there's other areas also that they're looking at to cut off the connections that Asian carp can't make their way into the Great Lakes system.
Yep. Let's turn to Michael in Jackson. Michael, hi. Thanks for calling.
Well, hi. How are you all today?
Great. Appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Well, my question revolves around Lake Michigan, and specifically identifying non-point pollution has always been one of the largest, contributing factors to solving our waterways, and often the most difficult sources to identify. Yet in the city of Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District is allowed repeated and chronic releases of blended or partially treated sewage into the lake. And that we can certainly identify. With that in mind, what has the state of Wisconsin been doing to try to limit or affect a elimination of the dumping our sewage into Lake Michigan?
All right. And I'm sorry, so Kim, do you want to take a shot at that?
Well, in particular, I think you're addressing the storm or the sewer overflows for Milwaukee Met. And they have spent a lot of money and resources to correct that. We had a presentation yesterday by Kevin Schaefer from MMSD on all of the things that Milwaukee is doing to try and correct that problem. And they have eliminated the combined sewer overflows from Milwaukee Met, I think he said something by like 95% or more, that they've down to one or two releases per year in extreme cases. And this is quite a challenge. You know, they're dealing with aging infrastructure, but they're doing all kinds of new and creative adaptive ways to eliminate this problem. But again, you know, they're doing their part, spending millions, billions of dollars to correct that. But that's only one small issue in the Great Lakes. And I know, you know, we don't want to have sewage going into the Great Lakes, but non-point source is a much bigger problem when you look at the phosphorus loadings that are coming from all different areas outside just Milwaukee. Green Bay area is the largest phosphorus source to all of Lake Michigan.
So what about each individual? What can Wisconsin residents do to help keep the Great Lakes healthy? We should cover some of those things.
There's a lot of things that you can do in your own backyard to keep the Great Lakes healthy. First being conserving water. A lot of folks who live in the Great Lakes Basin either use groundwater or water supplied from Lake Michigan. The less we use, the more is available for not only ecological purposes, but for everyone else. So conserving water is always important. For things like non-point source pollution, it might seem like a very large and daunting task to get rid of all the non-point source pollution, but just small practices in your yard, putting your downspouts so they don't flow into the storm sewer, or installing a rain barrel or a rain garden can be really effective in doing your part for your property.
Yeah, eliminating excess fertilizer on your lawns, that's a huge issue. Salt, over-salting in the winter is a huge issue. So there's lots of things that the local person can do. And, you know, just cleaning up trash and, you know, everything that goes into the storm sewers goes out into our lake. So all the garbage that people throw in the street, you're going to see that out in our beaches and our lake, because that's where the storm sewers eventually drain to.
Yeah, and you could volunteer. We have many beach cleanups, river cleanups at all different areas along the Great Lakes every year, where you can volunteer and go, you know, help pick up what's made its way down to the beach and make the environment not only a little bit healthier but nicer to look at as well.
Yeah. Is there going to be some published materials from this week of activities, or can people go to a website somewhere to learn more about what's going on with the Great Lakes?
Sure. If you can type in Great Lakes Week 2013, and there'll be there's agendas, there's contact information.
So there's lots there, and I think actually we have that.
And even on our own website, if you go to the DNR website, we have lots of links. There's a live feed that's covering a lot of the talks that people can access. Again, the DNR website has the link to the live feed, and also I believe the Healing Our Waters website also has the link to the live feed of what's happening this week.
Thank you both very much. By the way, we have that up on my Facebook page, too, so people can just go there and click. Kim and Stacy, thank you very much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. We've enjoyed it.
Kim Welts is project manager and grants coordinator for the Great Lakes at the Wisconsin DNR. Stacy Roan is the coordinator of the Sheboygan Area Concern Cleanup for the DNR. They're doing some great work there. And I thank them so much for being with us today. Ken Adams joins us tomorrow to talk about home restoration. Stay with us.